Okay, let's unpack this because my immediate reaction to today's topic is, well, it's a healthy dose of skepticism.
I mean, that makes total sense.
Right, because for the longest time, the barrier to building anything real on the internet was syntax. It was this, you know, this impenetrable wall of brackets and semicolons.
Yeah, the logic alone could take months or even years to really master.
Exactly. But today, we are doing a deep dive into a comprehensive 2026 guide from Vibe Coding Masters. And the mission for this deep dive is to answer one incredibly disruptive question.
And it really is disruptive.
It is.
Yeah.
The question is, can you genuinely build a fully functioning website just by describing it in plain English? And look, I don't mean a static brochureware page.
No, you mean a real functional product.
A real product, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, is this just a fancy new version of those drag and drop builders, you know, like Wix?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we looking at a fundamental shift in how the internet is actually built?
It is absolutely a fundamental shift. And, you know, to understand why, we have to look at how the baseline reality of software development has already changed.
Okay, how so?
Well, we aren't talking about snapping together pre-made digital Lego blocks in a restrictive ecosystem. We are talking about transforming you from a typist of code into a director of code.
A director of code. I like that.
Yeah. And just to set the stage for where the industry is right now in 2026, roughly 41% of all new code currently being written is AI generated.
Right, 41%. Almost half.
Almost half. And that changes the entire paradigm of web development.
See, I look at that 41% stat, and honestly, my first thought is, how much of that is actually secure, maintainable code?
That's the big question.
Right. Like, how much is just absolute spaghetti? Because for you listening right now, whether you're a founder sitting on a startup idea or, you know, a seasoned full-stack developer trying to accelerate your workflow, we need to separate the hype from what happens in production.
Exactly.
If almost half the internet's new infrastructure is being written by machines, we need to know exactly how that code is being generated and ultimately whether it can actually scale.
That is the exact right lens to use. We have to strip away the buzzwords. Like, the term vibe coding was coined back in February 2025.
Andrej Karpathy.
Yeah, the computer scientist Andrej Karpathy. And it caught on so aggressively that it actually became the Collins English Dictionary Word of the Year for 2025.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it got Word of the Year.
It did. But beneath the catchy name, there is a very specific mechanical core to it. It relies on natural language prompting.
Okay, so just talking to it.
Right, talking to an underlying LLM like Claude or Gemini, and it generates the raw HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and React code for you.
Right, but writing a script that outputs some React components isn't exactly new. What I'm seeing in these sources that feels distinctly 2026 is the workflow itself.
The workflow is everything.
Because traditional coding is a highly linear, frankly tedious grind.
Mm-hmm.
You write a line, test a line, fix a missing semicolon, write the next line.
It's exhausting.
It really is. But vibe coding introduces what the guide calls a conversational loop. Prompt, generate, edit, test, deploy. You are effectively in a dialogue with the AI.
Yes. Exactly.
Till it, hey, build a responsive homepage for a bakery with a hero section and a WhatsApp order button. It generates the DOM structure of the Tillwood classes.
And then you just look at it.
Right. You look at the render and say, make the hero section darker or, you know, the mobile padding is off. Fix it.
What's fascinating here is the mechanics of that conversational loop. The LLM isn't just spitting out text.
What is doing then?
It is maintaining the context of your entire session. So when you say, fix the mobile padding, the model doesn't rewrite the entire code base from scratch.
Oh, thank goodness. That would take forever.
Right. It isolates the specific CSS or Tailwind utility classes responsible for that viewport, applies the diff, and updates the render.
So it's targeted.
Highly targeted. It is rapidly executing the boilerplate changes that used to take a developer hours of context switching.
It's like the difference between writing an entire novel by hand, you know, word by excruciating word, versus having a hyper-competent ghostwriter.
That's a great analogy.
You hand the ghostwriter a detailed plot summary, they instantly type it out, and then your job is just to review the pacing. You say, no, the villain's motivation is weak here, rewrite this scene.
Exactly. Yeah. You are editing ideas and architecture, not typing individual letters.
But, I mean, that also implies you still need to know what makes a good story.
Precisely. This is the human-in-the-loop concept. The AI is a fantastic engine for syntax.
Right.
It handles the rote memorization of API endpoints and CSS grid properties, but the human remains entirely responsible for the logic, the architecture, and the overall user experience.
So you're the director. The AI is the crew.
Exactly. An LLM cannot inherently know that a specific user flow is going to frustrate your target demographic. It just builds what you prompt.
Which brings us to the actual output. If this AI is our hyper-fast ghostwriter, what kind of books are we trusting it to write?
Well, the range is huge now.
The sources claim beginners are throwing up landing pages in hours. Fine, I get that. But they also claim people are building full e-commerce stores and SaaS dashboards in a matter of weeks.
It's true, they are.
And I have to push back there, because if you look at the Y Combinator Winter 2025 batch data we have, a quarter of those early stage startups reported that their code bases were roughly 95% AI generated.
Yeah, that stat is wild.
It's insane. My immediate question is that a scalable SaaS product? Or is it a fragile house of cards that's going to collapse the second they get 1,000 concurrent users?
It's a completely valid concern, and it really comes down to the tool stack and how it's being deployed. In 2026, the ecosystem has fractured into highly specialized tools.
Okay, break that down for me.
If you are generating a 95% AI code base using only front-end single prompt tools, yes, you will likely hit massive scaling issues.
So what tools are we talking about here?
Tools like Lovable and Bolt.new are dominating right now, but they are primarily designed for rapid browser-based visual results.
So they're for the surface level.
Yeah, they are phenomenal for prototyping React applications and getting immediate feedback. And if you want zero local environment setup, you might use Replit AI to code, test, and host everything in a sandbox browser instance.
Right.
But those are not what serious engineers are using to build a scalable backend.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because an application isn't just what it looks like, right? It's how it manages data.
Absolutely. The data layer is critical.
It's one thing to generate a pretty portfolio page with smooth animations. I could forgive the AI if it messes up a CSS transition.
Sure, that's just a visual glitch.
But if I'm building a SaaS, I need a robust relational database. I need secure authentication. Can I actually trust an AI to wire up a complex schema in, say, Supabase or Firebase?
And that's where the risk comes in.
Because if my database migrations get botched, I lose user data. That's not a syntax error. That's a business-ending catastrophe.
And that is exactly where the workflow has to mature. As the architectural complexity scales up, developers migrate away from the visual generators.
Where do they go?
They move into AI-first IDEs, like Cursor.
Okay, Cursor. I've seen that mentioned a lot.
Yeah. How Cursor works is fundamentally different from a browser-based prompt box. It doesn't just read the file you are actively typing in.
What else does it read?
It embeds your entire repository into its context window. It understands the relationship between your database schema and your backend directory, your API routes, and your frontend components.
Oh, so it sees the whole picture.
Right. So when you ask it to update a data model, it can intelligently suggest the corresponding changes across your entire stack.
Okay, so Cursor is reading the architecture, not just the file. But let's take that a step further into liability.
Let's do it.
Say I'm building that e-commerce store, and I use Cursor to prompt a Stripe or Razorpay integration.
Okay, handling real money.
Exactly. If the AI hallucinates a bug in the payment gateway logic, or worse, exposes an edge case that allows a transaction to bypass verification, who is responsible? I can't exactly sue the LLM.
You are entirely liable,
That's terrifying.
which is why human verification of critical paths is absolutely non-negotiable.
Yeah.
You do not just prompt a payment integration and push it to production.
You'd have to be crazy to do that.
Right. You have the AI write the boilerplate integration, but then you, the human director, rigorously test the edge cases.
That makes sense.
This is why understanding the mechanisms of these AI tools is crucial. We have to talk about why AI hallucinates in the first place.
Right. The sources highlight hallucinations as a major failure mode. The AI just confidently makes things up. But why? We aren't dealing with a logic engine, are we?
Exactly, we're not. LLMs are, at their core, predictive text engines. They are highly sophisticated stochastic models trained on massive data sets like GitHub.
So they're just guessing the next word.
Basically, when they write code, they are predicting the most mathematically probable sequence of tokens based on your prompt. They are not internally compiling the code and checking if the logic is sound.
Oh, wow. So they don't even know if it works.
No. So if you ask for a highly niche API integration, the model might predict a library name that sounds incredibly plausible.
Because it matches standard naming conventions.
Exactly. But it simply does not exist. To the untrained eye, the code looks perfect, but it fails instantly at runtime.
So it's essentially guessing with extreme confidence.
Extreme confidence, yes.
And the Stack Overflow surveys in our sources highlight exactly how frustrating this is in practice.
Oh, developers are very vocal about this.
Yeah, the number one complaint from developers is AI output that is almost right, but not quite.
Which is almost worse than being completely wrong.
Because you have to hunt for the error. It might use a deprecated version of a React hook, or it might casually hard code an environment variable, exposing your private API keys to the public if you blindly commit it.
Which is a massive security vulnerability. And alongside security, you have code bloat.
Right, because it's just predicting tokens.
Exactly, because it's predicting tokens rather than optimizing for efficiency, it can often generate redundant, messy code.
Just piling code on top of code.
Yep. If you just keep asking it to patch bugs in the same file without refactoring, the file becomes an unmaintainable nightmare.
So what does this all mean? It sounds like you're managing a brilliant, hyper-productive, but incredibly reckless intern.
That is the perfect analogy.
Right. They can output 10 times the volume of anyone else on the team, but if you don't aggressively audit their work, they might accidentally publish your database passwords to the open internet.
And that fundamentally explains why the traditional discipline of web development hasn't disappeared. It has just shifted.
Shifted how?
Prompt engineering is a vital skill, but the idea that you can just talk to an AI and never look at the code is a complete myth.
You still have to get your hands dirty.
You do. You still need to be able to read and understand HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and React. You must know Git.
Because when the intern breaks everything.
Exactly. So when your reckless intern inevitably introduces a breaking change, you can view the diff, understand what broke, and roll back the repository.
And this is where we need to draw a hard line between vibe coding and the older no-code ecosystems we mentioned earlier.
Yes, a very important distinction.
With platforms like Wix or WordPress, you are heavily abstracted away from the code, but you're also trapped in vendor lock-in.
You're stuck in their system.
Right. You don't own the infrastructure. You are renting space in their walled garden. Vibe coding, on the other hand, generates raw portable source code. You own it completely.
But the price of that ownership is the burden of maintenance.
Which means you need to understand it.
It changes what you need to know. You don't need to memorize the exact syntax of a complex array reduction method in JavaScript anymore.
Because the AI just types it out for you.
Right, the AI will write it. But you need to be able to read that function, trace the logic, and verify it doesn't cause a memory leak.
So reading is the new writing.
Reading and debugging have become vastly more important than rote typing. Think yeah. about the industry standard of pull requests in GitHub. We don't just merge code into production. A human reviews it. That practice exists because unreviewed code is a massive business risk, whether it was written by a tired junior developer or an LLM.
Okay, so let's zoom out and look at the macro impact.
Let's do it.
If this methodology gives you portable professional code, but demands this entirely new discipline of rigorous review, how is this reshaping the job market today?
It's changing everything.
Like if I'm listening to this and mapping out my career path for the next 5 years, what does the landscape look like?
Well, it is a landscape defined by massive acceleration. Developers who integrate these tools effectively are saving 3 to 4 hours a week on routine tasks alone.
3 to 4 hours a week? That's huge.
It is. A JetBrains study from January 2026 confirms this isn't a fringe practice anymore. 3 out of 4 developers are now using dedicated AI coding assistants daily.
3 out of 4? Wow.
It is the baseline expectation for the job. If you aren't using it, you are simply too slow.
The economic ripple effects of that speed are wild. Particularly in major tech hubs. The sources highlight a fascinating case study in India right now.
Oh, yeah. The Indian market is arguably the best indicator of where global development is heading.
What's happening there?
In Hyderabad's IT corridor, areas like HI Tech City and Gachibowli, companies are aggressively hiring for AI augmented roles.
Makes sense.
But what's truly interesting is the boom in the freelance sector. Independent developers are leveraging AI to deliver multiple complex sites a month, serving local businesses from Kakapali to Madhapur.
Multiple complex sites a month for one person.
Exactly. And they are charging anywhere from 25,000 to 1,50,000 rupees per business site.
Because they can deliver professional, custom-coded solutions at a fraction of the time and cost of a traditional agency.
It completely disrupts the traditional agency model.
It really does. But what about the salaried roles? Like, if an individual is delivering that kind of output, are companies paying a premium for these specific AI skills?
They absolutely are, provided you have the foundational skills we discussed.
The reviewing and debugging skills.
Right. Entry-level AI front-end developers in Hyderabad are seeing salaries between 3.5 to 6 lakhs per annum.
Okay.
But if you transition into a mid-level full-stack role, meaning you are using AI to handle complex databases and system architecture securely,
then what?
Those salaries jump significantly straight into the 15 to 25 lakhs per annum bracket. The market pays for the ability to manage complexity.
Let me stop you there and ask the harsh, pointed question on behalf of everyone listening.
Go for it.
If an AI allows one developer to do the work of a small team, like if the output is literally 5 to 10 times faster, aren't companies just going to slash their headcounts?
That's a fear, right?
Yeah. Is vibe coding going to decimate the developer job market? Or is it a career maker?
If we connect this to the bigger picture of software economics, businesses will always adopt the technology that reduces overhead. That is a given. However, the demand for software is practically infinite. When you drastically lower the cost and time it takes to build a product, businesses don't just stop building, they build more.
Oh, so they just expand their scope.
Exactly. They tackle the backlog of internal tools and features they previously couldn't afford to resource. The market is not eliminating developers. It is pivoting to reward what we call prompt literate builders.
So the bottleneck isn't typing speed anymore. It's the ability to securely productize the AI's output.
Exactly. It democratizes development for the people who always had the system level logic but lacked the syntax.
Right.
Think about the startup founders, the project managers, or the career switchers who had brilliant ideas but couldn't get past the initial learning curve of setting up a React environment.
That wall of syntax we talked about.
Yes.
Right.
That specific barrier is gone. If you have the discipline to architect the system and rigorously review the AI's output, you can build.
It really is a double-edged sword, though. You can move incredibly fast. But if you don't know what you're doing, you will just build a catastrophic mess 10 times faster.
A very fast disaster.
Exactly. And the technology isn't slowing down to let us catch our breath. Our sources point toward the near future, specifically the rise of agentic AI.
Agentic AI is the next frontier.
We're talking about tools like Windsurf that don't just wait for your prompt. They can plan multi-step tasks, run their own automated test suites, and iteratively attempt to fix their own errors based on terminal readouts.
And this raises an important question about the evolution of the conversational loop.
How so?
Right now, you are the director manually steering the AI. But as agentic systems mature, the AI becomes capable of breaking down a high-level goal into subtasks and executing them independently.
So it manages itself?
Essentially, yes. Your role elevates even further. You move from code reviewer to system architect, orchestrating a team of specialized AI agents.
Wow. Okay, so bringing this all together for you, the listener, the core takeaway from this 2026 deep dive is that, yes, the hype is largely grounded in reality.
It absolutely is.
You absolutely can build a professional, scalable website or SaaS product using natural language, but you cannot do it blindly.
No, you have to be vigilant, right?
By mastering the conversational loop, and by deeply blending prompt engineering with foundational web skills, you know, understanding Git, knowing how to read JavaScript logic, and verifying database schemas.
Which are non-negotiable.
Exactly. By doing all that, you can launch products in a fraction of the time it took just a few years ago.
And perhaps the most compelling part of this shift is the accessibility.
Cost.
Yeah, the financial barrier to entry is practically non-existent. Most of these AI tools, like Lovable or Cursor, offer very generous free tiers or cost around $20 a month.
That's incredibly cheap for what it is.
It's amazing. When you combine that with hosting platforms that offer free deployments for smaller projects, the only actual barrier left is your willingness to sit down, learn the mechanics of the tools, and start building.
Which leaves us with one incredibly provocative thought to mull over as we wrap up.
Oh, what's that?
We started this deep dive by talking about the transition from being a typist of code to a director of code. We are currently the ones writing the detailed prompts and reviewing the output.
Right.
But if agentic AI systems in 2026 are already capable of executing complex multi-step tasks and parsing their own error logs, what happens when these AI agents get sophisticated enough to start writing the optimal prompts for each other?
That is a wild thought.
Will the human role of the director eventually be outsourced to an AI as well? Or will we simply find ourselves operating at an even higher, unimaginable level of abstraction?